The second reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, verses 27 through 38. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless, then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her." Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive." God, we thank you for your word. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the words we heard read this morning from your holy book. And now, as we listen to these words that come from my lips, I most humbly pray that you would pour through me the gift of preaching, so that they remain no longer simply my words, but instead are transformed into your living word to each and every person who hears them, that he or she might be met in exactly his or her place of need. We pray this, God, in great anticipation and in the strong name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. There is a phrase that is going around now and has been for about the past year, but it's really exploded recently in social media, on the internet. And it is a phrase that young people use, millennials in particular use, in response to attitudes that they hear from the older generation. Some of those things that perhaps you, who may be of an older generation, have said at one point or another to a younger person, like, "Why are you always on your phone? Do you know how to talk to people or only to talk to your phone?" Young people today are so disrespectful. Young people today are so entitled. So the phrase now that millennials use in response to that is, "Okay, boomer." It's a response that basically dismisses whatever the argument is because young people have gotten tired of explaining to older people why they do what they do or how what they're doing is important or not entitled and that they do work hard and they're not lazy and they do have positive attributes. So this "okay, boomer" thing has exploded recently with a whole bunch of backlash from older folks who are like, "Wait a minute, you need to respect us, and that's ageist," and things like that. But if we're going to actually look at this whole phenomenon, even older folk might be willing to acknowledge that when they were younger, perhaps they had a problem with older folk who were saying to them, "Well, back in my day," about their youth. As a matter of fact, I think this is before my time, but I think in the 60s there was a phrase about "don't trust anyone over 30. So this is a similar type of thing that's happening today. And if we are honest, this has been happening generation after generation after generation, millennia after millennia. And it's even what is happening right here in Haggai in our scripture lesson this morning. So Haggai was a prophet in 620 BCE. And he actually comes after the discussions that we've been having in recent weeks. You know how we've been talking about during Jeremiah's time, during Habakkuk's time, the Babylonians came in, they invaded Jerusalem, they invaded Israel, and they razed the temple to the ground. They destroyed the royal palace, and they took the Israelites and exiled them to Babylon. And we've talked about how the Israelites in Babylon are very unhappy, and they want to go home, and they want to go back to Jerusalem. And Jeremiah tells them, get over it. It's not happening anytime soon. You are going to be here. So get married and have children, plant gardens, settle here, because this is where you are in this moment. Habakkuk likewise tells similar statements to them about how they need to accept and work for the good of the city in which they live. That God is coming, that God has a vision, that it will happen, but just not right this minute. Well, now, guess what? It has happened. The 70 years are up, and Haggai and the Israelites are back in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, they've been back in Jerusalem for 18 years. They were returned to Jerusalem in 638. So in 638, they got there. They started trying to rebuild the temple. They had been rebuilding the temple for 18 years. They had been resettling for 18 years. They had been working to reclaim their ancient home for 18 years, and it's just not going well. And the older folk are starting to say, this is just not as good as it used to be. The temple was much better before. You're not building it to the same standards. You're not making it of the same quality. It is not as good as back in my day. And the funny thing about this is, did you do the math? They were in Babylon for 70 years. It has now been 18 years since they came home. That means it's been 88 years since they left Israel. So anybody who's alive and complaining probably doesn't remember the temple anyway. And yet here they are saying, back in my day, it was better. And I think that's a natural inclination we have. We have a natural inclination to sort of glorify what we remember as glory days. Bruce Springsteen wrote a song about it. We love to think back then was better than right now. And God says in Haggai, it's not. God in Haggai says, I'm here right now. Look and see what I am doing. I'm doing this amazing thing. And God goes on to talk about how the mountains are not just shaking. It's the earth and the heavens. It is the sky and the seas. It is the whole of the cosmos that is transforming in this time. He says, don't you know? Don't you know that all of the gold and all of the silver and everything belongs to me. It is all under my command and my control. And for you to sit here and say it was better back then is not looking at what I've got going on right now. And I think it is very human of us to think that if we could control it, it would be so much better than acknowledging that God is sovereign. I have a friend, Agatha, who was recently down in Virginia Beach. She went after the tourist season was over. So it was sometime in mid-September. She took her dog, Bucky, who is a shepherd mix and she adores, and they go everywhere together. And they, every morning, would get up and would walk along the beach. So this got to be a really beautiful way for her to experience kind of a meditative time in the morning, just walking the beach with her dog. And one morning, as they were walking along and Bucky was running up ahead, Bucky got to a point where she couldn't really see what was up there. He was ahead, but he began to flip out. He began to just bark, 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 and then sort of run around in a corner and bark, 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 and run around a little bit more and bark, 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 bark on the sand. And she was at a distance and couldn't figure out what on earth he was so upset about, what on earth he was barking at. She couldn't see anything at all from her vantage point. And as she got closer, she saw where there were hundreds of jellyfish that had been washed up onto the shore. And Bucky was doing what shepherds do, and he was trying desperately to herd them back into the ocean. Needless to say, he was not being successful. And she sat and pondered how much that felt familiar. That idea that if she just barked loud enough and hard enough, she could be in control of things that were out of her control. And as she stood back and watched her dog, she realized that the ocean, the power of the ocean, was the only thing that was going to wash those jellyfish back into the sea. And that that was the power of our sovereign God, not her and not her dog. I think quite often, I know I think I should have the power of the ocean. And indeed, that is God's power. That is not mine. And instead of thinking that I need to control, it's important to recognize that God is already in control. And that God has got this. God had the past, the glory days, God has the future, and God has it right now, and right now is doing an amazing thing if we will just open our eyes and see it. So right now we are in the midst of our 2020 vision. We are in the midst of remembering, of thinking about, of recognizing what we need to do in order to continue building and growing the kingdom right here in Germantown. And we are considering what ways, as I was telling the children, what ways it is that we are being called to give, what ways is it that we are being called to share inside these walls and outside these doors. In our second scripture lesson, Jesus is talking to the Sadducees. Jesus only has an encounter singularly with the Sadducees once in the entire Bible. Sometimes you'll see the Pharisees and the Sadducees together. Often you will see the Pharisees in conversation with Jesus, but this is his one conversation with the Sadducees. And one of the things you need to know about the Sadducees is the Sadducees did not believe in life after death. They thought when you died, and you were done. And so they are going to Jesus with this question about the resurrection. They're talking about the afterlife, about what happens when you're gone, because they figure they can catch him on this. You see, the law was that if a woman married and she died childless, she was supposed to then marry the next brother. And the reason for this is because if she didn't, if she married someone outside the family, the property would go with her. So remember how back in those days, the eldest received a double portion? If you had 7 sons, that means there were 8 portions. The eldest received 2. If the wife went out and married somebody else after her husband died, those 2 portions of the family inheritance would go into somebody else's holdings. So the law said she had to marry the next brother. So the Sadducees have created this entire, like, ridiculous scenario around property law to test Jesus on how he is going to talk about the afterlife. How is he going to talk about resurrection? So what happens is this woman marries the first and then the second, and all these poor men just die one after the other so that she can marry all 7 of them. And then she dies, goes to heaven, and who's she going to be with? They don't really care. What they want to do is get Jesus to say, well, there really isn't any afterlife, so it's not, the point is moot. But Jesus doesn't say that. And he also doesn't say the other thing they think he'll say, which is, well, of course she goes with the first. He says, don't you understand? This is not a continuum. You don't die and just live in a nicer place in the same circumstances. What happens afterwards is beyond your imagining. So don't worry about that, because our God is a God of the living. Worry about this. We are living here and now. It's about here and now, because that is taken care of beyond your wildest dreams. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen, here and now, in 2019, about to be 2020. And I want to know, where are things out of your control that you just need to leave to God and accept and trust that God has got this? And where is it that God is calling you to further the coming of the kingdom? To do the things that bless and praise and share God's love with all you meet. Because that is the 2020 vision for here and now, is how we are to live today and into the future.
Amen.